Welcome to the Mystic Millennials podcast, hosted by Abby
and Bethany. This is a podcast to share the reality of spirituality and what it is really like to be 20-somethings navigating a spiritual awakening.
Join us weekly as we become your new spiritual BFFs, sharing all about our own journeys while celebrating the amazing people who inspire, motivate, and encourage us to embrace our modern mysticism. Let's get into the episode.
Hello and welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the second ep. We did it. We're here.
We're killing it.
Killing it. So, so much. How are you going since I saw you yesterday? Abby, how's things?
So many things happened. No, I'm going well. In Sydney here, we're kind of like reopening a little bit. Because we've been in lockdown with COVID for anyone listening who's not from Australia, but yeah, it's been an interesting process because I thought I would be so rearing to go and get out, but it's actually like a Jazz put something up like fear of reopening.
I saw that too. Yeah, yeah. It's and so I was just like, I feel seen.
Yeah. So I actually haven't really been doing that much. I went out to do a little regular retail shopping. But yeah, other than that, I've still been in my regular lockdown life. So slowly reintegrating into society.
We love a slow reintegration.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too bad. Like we're pretty COVID free, I would say in WA. Mainly because our borders are never open. So there's no COVID coming in because there's no one coming in, which is interesting because it means that, you know, we aren't locked down. We can do things freely, but also we can't see people that are not here and we can't book holidays or just go see family that are over East and stuff like that. So it's very interesting. It's an interesting time to be in Australia, that's for sure. But I think we're getting there. And I'm going pretty good. I was just so pumped up after recording the first episode yesterday. I literally was like jumping off the walls. I sent Abby a text message last night. I was having like my Baileys out on the couch after dinner, like my little bedtime.
Oh my God, iconic.
I was like, I know, truly a nana. And I was like, I'm just so grateful for you and this podcast that we've done this. I was just so in my feelings with all the gratitude.
I woke up and I was like, thank God, I'm so grateful for everything. I love you so
really
much.
Really activating those Pisces emotions with the gratitude.
Actually.
Oh, so funny. Oh my gosh. Well, that's a cool little segue into what we're going to talk about today, which is
absolutely
astrology. The best topic in the world, in my very humble opinion. We love it. It's
absolutely.
Its popularity has absolutely soared. It's gone from something that I think you would just kind of read in a That's Life magazine or a Woman's Day or something, you know, in the back section, to read the horoscopes, to now it's everywhere. It's, you know, your Instagram. I mean, I don't know if it's just because I love astrology, but Instagram is full of like astrology memes and like there's people talking about it nonstop. People always talking about retrogrades, like, and like knowing their shit. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is a thing
Pop
now.
Off.
This is a thing.
Let's go. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I was even watching, this has been embarrassing, but a little clip of Love Island and people were talking about astrology on Love Island. And I was just like, hello, mainstream. Like it has very, very much infiltrated our like daily lives. And not just, as you said, like the horoscopes in That's Life, like information about transits and natal charts is becoming more and more like common knowledge, I think, especially in like our age group.
Yeah, totally. And it's really in the last couple, like maybe 5 years, you know, it has kind of boomed. And I think what I find super interesting is that I've noticed it more so with lockdowns since COVID.
Yeah.
You know, people have had more time and they've kind of And I suppose that's one of the reasons why I love astrology, why I kind of, I mean, I got into it majorly around the start of the COVID like pandemic. It gives a purpose and it gives a reason for what's happening. And I think that's something that people really need right now is we need to understand what's going on because we don't understand a lot. There's a lot of things up in the air. There's a lot of things that are just, we can all feel this tension, this energetic tension and these push and pulls of energy, whether we know it or not, we're all on high alert. And I think, you know, for me, that's one of the reasons that I love astrology and why I think it has grown so much in the past, like, you know, 2-3 years is because people are trying to understand what's going on. And astrology gives such a clear picture of that.
Yeah. And kind of what we spoke about in the intro episode as well, I think for a lot of people, COVID was like almost a mass, like spiritual awakening. Totally. So it's like a way to see yourself outside yourself and get that understanding even deeply of yourself, and feel really seen. So I love it. We both thought today would be a fun way to both get to know our big three placements, but also for Beth to drop some wisdom because she's an astrology queen, how we can actually like use this in our lives. And like, I think we're both big proponents of like all spiritual tools and practices being empowering. 100%. So how we can feel really empowered by this and not put into a box, but how we can use this to elevate and express our already innate energy, desires, wants, and everything like that. So yeah, keen,
super keen. And yeah, I love what you said about not being put into a box, because that's something that I think comes up so much with astrology. That's something that can be such a resistance at first when you start to talk to people about it. They're like, oh, well, I read a horoscope when I was 20 about, you know, Aries, and I don't relate to that. So astrology is dumb. You know, like that's something that I just hear all the time. And it's like, and that's the first like misconception, something I would like love if anyone took away anything from anything I ever say in my life. It is you are so much more than your sun sign. You are not just your star sign. You know what I mean? Like, and again, that's huge misconception, because that's what we're all taught. We're taught that it's horoscopes and you go off your star sign, which is your star sign is actually, it's called your sun sign. So it's the sign that the sun was in the zodiac wheel at the moment you were born. So that's why you'll kind of see memes about, you know, like Libra season or Scorpio season, like these sorts of, because we go through zodiac seasons within the year. The sun is in each sign, you know, about 30 days out of the year. And so we do go through these zodiac seasons. So if you were born within that time, you know, we've got Aries season, that's when all our Aries are born. I'm born right at the start of Sag season in the middle, like late November. But that doesn't define us, because we don't just have the sun in our birth chart, but the birth chart is actually a snapshot of all the planets at the time that you were born. So you actually have, you know, you've got the moon, you've got Mars, Venus, Mercury, you've got all these planets plus all these asteroids and different points in your birth chart that all can reside in completely different signs. So that's what we kind of refer to when we talk about the big three, is that we aren't just the sun sign. We aren't just, you know, that star sign. There's so many different planets that influence us in our birth chart, and so many different zodiac signs that we can really tap into.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am obsessed and still am getting to know my own natal chart. There's so much that I discover, like literally each time I look at it, I'm like, holy shit. Yes. Like that makes sense. Like incredible. But can you explain a little bit about why the big three is so, like, you hear people saying that all the time, like, what's your big three? Why do people want to know your big three?
Yes. So the big three, which were, when we refer to that, that's your sun sign, your moon sign, and your rising sign. So you'll be asked, hey, what's your sun, moon, rising? it's something that, yeah, if you're into astrology, you know off the top of your head. And if you're not, you're like, what the hell kind of shit are they talking about? The sun, moon, and rising is like with the sun sign. The moon sign is the sign that your moon was in when you were born, the moon. And then your rising sign is what sign was on the horizon at the time that you were born. I think the reason that these three are so talked about often, it's something that I actually been talking about this week with some new clients of mine, is they're actually the main three points that we can see, like physically see with our eyes. We can see the sun, we can see the moon, and we can see the horizon. You know what I mean? Like at any time of the day, we can see these three things just with our eyeballs. And so yeah. I like to think of that because then, you know, they're so visceral, like we can actually look at them. It's tangible. And I feel like that's very much for us. Like it really, it is the bones of us. I mean, the sun, the moon, and the horizon, they make up our day. You know what I mean? That's how we understand what time of day is it? What, you know, like, is it nighttime? Is it daytime? Blah, blah, blah. And so I feel like when we can understand the sun, moon, rising in terms of like that aspect, it then reflects back on us because it actually makes up the kind of person that we are. You know what I mean? Am I a quiet, reserved person? Am I someone that's really outgoing? And the reason that these three elements kind of work hand in hand is, you know, the sun sign is, the sun in astrology is our identity. It's our sense of self. It's our conscious mind. And it's also, it's the kind of light that we shine, you know, it's what lights us up. So with the sun sign in astrology, that's really, you know, when we're in our element, you know, we all have these things in our life where we just feel like we're so in our element. We're in our zone of genius. Like we're just vibing. That's usually when we're lighting up our sun sign. And then with the moon sign, that's more our inner self. That's our feelings. That is how we process our emotions. It's also how we feel supported. So it's the support that we need from other people. It's how we feel nurtured. It's how we feel safe. So these, again, are such important things for us because we are emotional body. You know, we are so, like, again, like we had this conversation yesterday in terms of, you know, being a human, this human experience, like such a large part of that is the feelings and is the emotion.
Absolutely.
And so that's why it's really important to understand the moon sign, not only of yourself, but it can be really cool to ask for other people because it's like, you can really understand, okay, like what do they need in terms of when they're going through something, when they're feeling emotions, what space do they need? Because oftentimes people might relate completely differently to you. I know for me, and we'll talk about like mine and yours a bit later anyway, but you know, like I've got an Aries moon. Aries is a sign of the warrior, the fighter. It wants to go, go, go. And it wants to like do all the things. So for me, I process my emotions. I have to talk about them and I have to fight it out and I have to let it all out and get it off my heart. And that's how I process it. Whereas someone with, for example, like a Cancer moon, Cancer is a very private sign. It's very reserved and it needs a lot of safety. So someone with a Cancer moon, they might actually feel like they need to process their emotions alone. They don't really want other people around. They don't really want to talk about it initially. They just want time to process it themselves. So that's kind of where the moon sign can really help us understand that part of ourselves, that emotional processing. And then the rising sign is the energy that we kind of give off. It's the vibe that people pick up when they meet us. It's a large part of how we're being asked to show up in this lifetime. So we can really look to the rising sign when we're feeling like, you know, we want to partake in this new journey of our life, whether it's career, whether it's relationships, whether it's friendships. We can look to the rising sign to really understand what energy do I give off when people first meet me and how can I utilize it? How can I step into my power with my rising sign and use that as my superpower to magnetize people towards me? Because it's really important to know, because for some people, their rising sign, and I'm super excited for you to talk about this, Abby, because your sun sign and your rising sign are opposite signs. So your rising sign, if it's not really, you know, if it's kind of an opposite sign to like your sun or your moon, and it's the same for me, my sun is opposite sign to my rising sign. I never related to my rising sign. I always really struggled with, I'm a Gemini rising. And I was like, I don't feel super connected to that, like really, you know, smart, curious, chatty, like communicative energy that the Gemini rising brings. But the more I tapped into it, the more I tapped into that ability to be a chameleon, be adaptable like that Gemini, I realized that I had so much power there. And it's actually, I've utilized it so much in my business. That's why I've always wanted to do a podcast, because as a Gemini rising, I'm like, and you're a Virgo rising, which is also ruled by Mercury, the planet of communication. Mercury. We're talkers, we're chatty people. We want to talk and communicate. Yeah. And that's our strength. And that's how we are being asked to show up. So yeah, that's the kind of rising sign in a very long nutshell.
I love it. And I, for me, I didn't really utilize like the information and power of knowing all of that about my rising sign until, I mean, when I started getting into astrology, I didn't realize like how important it was and like how much it influences our whole chart. So that's awesome. And you kind of mentioned before, which I think would be something cool to touch on, that some people just don't identify with their sun sign. And you spoke about it, you know, it's like our identity, how we shine. Why might be some reasons, other than not having looked deeper into your chart, but like, why might be some reasons that people aren't feeling like in their zone of genius or not tapped into the energy, that their sun sign is?
Totally. There's a couple of reasons. There's some that I look to in the actual birth chart, and there's some that I just look to in life. So when looking at the birth chart, you'll have a look at it, and it's like kind of between the 3 o'clock and the 9 o'clock, like that real horizon of the birth chart. If the sun is below that line in the birth chart, you've actually got a night chart, which means that you identify more with your moon sign than your sun sign. Mm. So that can kind of be one way. And then if your sun is above that horizon point in the birth chart, then you've got more of a day chart. And that can be someone that really connects more with their sun sign than their moon sign. So that is something that I will kind of look towards in the birth chart, in terms of if someone really does not identify with that sun sign. I'd also have a look at what house it's in. The houses in the birth chart. So basically when you look at your birth chart, it looks like a schmozzle, but essentially in the middle, it's kind of cut into these like 12 pizza slices. You can see it's cut into 12 little slices. And the little symbols of the planets reside in each house. Now, each house represents a different area of our life, and it can affect the way that their planet's energy shows up, because it may show up in one area of our life rather than another. And so the reason I talk to that is because there's some areas of our chart that, again, are quite private, and it's not really energy that we express outwardly, and it's not always energy that we connect to. So if you have your sun in like the 8th house or the 12th house, those are really houses that kind of, when a sun is in that kind of house, that energy really lights up when it's not focused on self. So the 12th house is all about our subconscious. It's about our psyche. It's about energy that is, it's about having a connection to energy that we can't see, but we know is there. And so when we have our sun in that house, it's not always our own light, and our own kind of identity isn't always something that we can tap into. It's there, it's active through our subconscious and through those subconscious truths that we spoke about yesterday, Abby, but it's not really something that we feel in our body. And same with the 8th house. The 8th house is the house of like other people's kind of possessions. You know, it's the house of like taxes and like other people's money, and it's like, it's the house where we don't have a lot of control in the 8th house. So again, if we've got a sun in the 8th house, that's not really an energy that we're going to feel is ours. It's going to feel outside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when we've got a sun in the 8th house, we can often feel like we're looking for that light outside of ourselves from others. And it can be really good to know that, because then we can understand, okay, like that's how I kind of operate. That's, you know, that maybe that's why I struggle to get in touch with my own light, with my identity and my sense of self. So let me look deeper into those houses. Cause if it's the 8th house, the way that we can connect to ourselves is through like deep, like mystical practices. Like that's a really great way to tap into 8th house energy. If it's the 12th house, it's going to be through shadow work and energy work. So something like Reiki, like what you do, would be amazing for someone with that sun in the 12th that's finding it really hard to connect with themselves. So that's a couple of things that I look for in the birth chart. And then also just in general, like in terms of not really connecting with that identity and sense of self. And again, we spoke to it yesterday, like we're in a society that teaches women especially to not look at themselves, to not connect to themselves and what they want and what lights them up. It's looking at what lights other people up and what's going to keep them happy. So that's why the birth chart can provide such a beautiful reflection, because it can actually give you a point to look to learn about yourself, to learn about your identity. How do you connect with yourself? You can look to the sun sign in the birth chart, and it can just give you that jumping off point if you're feeling lost, if you're feeling like you're not sure who you are or how to make sense of why you act a certain way, why you think a certain way, why have people always told you you're too much? Why have people always told you that you speak too much, that you're too emotional, that you're too nitpicky, like the birth
chart? Or even too quiet.
Too quiet. Yes, it can help. It can help just give some tangible context to why you are the way you are, and realizing that that's your superpower. Just because someone else doesn't see it as that doesn't mean that it's not, you know, it's just because you have something that other people are lacking. You know, if you're told you're too quiet, it's because someone else wishes they were quieter, but they're always overspeaking to be heard. And so they're saying that you need to speak up as well. Well, no, your power is in your calm, and you don't need to be heard, and you don't need to make all this noise to attract attention to you, because you're so confident and sure in yourself and your own journey. And if you're too loud, that just means that, you know, people are uncomfortable by you because you have a strong, beautiful, bold presence, and they wish they could be bold, and they're not. So that's why, just the birth chart can give some really beautiful insight and understanding to these areas of self.
Yeah. Beautiful self-awareness moment there. Absolutely. And I loved what you said, because my whole life I have been drawn to all these like spiritual, subconscious, even all the kind of really deep things, and like even things like astrology. So learning that Pisces sun is all about that, and harnessing that energy and feeling really powerful in that, instead of kind of a little bit ashamed, and we can talk to that a bit later, but being proud of that energy that is innate within me, instead of being like, oh, like that isn't really valued in society, I should be doing more of this kind of thing or more of that kind of thing. I loved everything you said. But shall we get into talking a little bit about our big three? And we also thought it would be cool to like talk about our big three and our experience within it, and maybe some misconceptions that we come across or are common.
We all know we've all seen the memes, we've all seen the things, and yeah, they can be funny memes, but we don't want to base our opinion of self on a meme. That just feels like a blanket rule.
We don't want a box to be put in.
No, never.
So let's start with our sun sign. What is your sun? And tell us a little bit about that experience for you.
So I am a Sagittarius sun. And I, as I was talking to you before, I'm right on the cusp. So I'm like, I think 40 minutes into Sagittarius season.
Wow.
My whole life, I thought I was a Scorpio. Because
I know
it was a whole drama, like literally up until like 3 years ago. I always thought I was a Scorpio because all the magazines, I'm sure there's a bunch of people that will be listening that like maybe are on the cusp. I know one of my clients, she also thought she was right on the cusp of a sign as well. And because it either says either 22nd of November or 23rd of November for Scorpio is either until the 21st or 22nd or something. And I'm on the 22nd. And so I just always assumed, yeah, I'm a Scorpio. Like I resonated more with Scorpio, right? Like I never resonated with Sagittarius ever. Went my whole life being like, I'm Scorpio. I'm like really cool. I'm like a Scorpio. You could never understand me. You know what I mean? Like really like being a dickhead about it. Then I remember the first like kind of little astrology course I did, when I learned how to pull up a chart, I put up my chart and I was like, no, 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 surely not. Like, there's no way.
Not me.
No. And I tried, I don't know what I was trying to do. I was trying to change time, but I just kept, and I literally, seriously, this is how like stubborn I am. This is this like Aries moon coming out. I fully,
that is so funny.
Still for like 4 or 5 months after that, kept telling people, I'm a Scorpio sun. And they'd look like, at my chart and I'm like, no, I'm a Scorpio sun. I'm an Aries moon and Gemini rising, but I'm still a Scorpio sun. Just ignore the birth chart. Like, I was so in denial.
That's so
funny.
And
I never figured out why. Like, I was like, I don't understand. Like, why am I so attached to this? And when I learned more about Sagittarius, I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Cause they're like, they're stupid optimistic, which is like me. Like, I like am so gullible and like, I will believe anything. Cause I am just quite like, I'm quite a cheery person. You know, I'm always up for a laugh. I'm pretty adventure, like that the Scorpio stereotypes is, you know, super adventurous, loves fun, which is very me. Sagittarius gets a bad rap for being like kind of flaky or like non-committal. But the thing is with Sagittarius, they're just after the best option. They want what's best and they want what lights up their heart. And if something isn't going to light up their heart, they're not going to do it. Like, cause they're like, oh, I could do something that's actually going to fulfill my soul. Cause that's the thing with Sag is they really are, it is very soul centric and it is about finding what's going to evolve me, what's going to grow me. Everything that a Sagittarius does, all that chaotic energy and doing all the things, like, you know, Sagittarius are known for being, you know, all about traveling, but it's not because they love being on holiday. It's because they learn from everything and they want to fill their soul with so many different experiences and learning opportunities that they just want to do all the things. They want to read all the books about different cultures. They want to, yeah, like travel, you know, obviously not now, but they want to travel as much as they can, like all these things. And so when I learned about it more, I was like, well, yeah, that makes sense. Like, you know, I mean, I am a Sag. I couldn't argue with it anymore. Like, it literally is in the stars. Like, I was like, okay, true. Like, I was yelling at a wall. Like, it was so stupid. And then I realized probably like 6 months into like my full astrology journey, or like, so 6 months after I first pulled that chart. So it had only been like a month or two of me actually accepting that I was a Sagittarius. I realized that the planet that rules Scorpio, which is Pluto, sits on top of my sun. Like it is right on top of my sun. So I was like, that's where I get that Scorpio vibe, is because when you have when you have planets sitting on top of each other in your birth chart, particularly on like your sun or your moon or your rising sign, you will feel the effect of that planet just as much as you'll feel your sun or your moon or your rising. So for me, yeah, I do have that sun in Sag, but I also have that deep Pluto influence, which gives me that Scorpio energy, which gives me that like, yeah, I love fun. I'm like, you know, super outgoing, all those sorts of things, but I'm also very protective of myself and my energy and my feelings. And I like to keep it that way. You know, like I'm not one to trust very openly. I can be quite, you know, Scorpio is like the bullshit detector of the zodiac. Like if you know anyone that's a Scorpio, or if you have any Scorpio placement,
your dad,
you'll resonate with that, because it is, they have such a keen eye for energy. They can see through anything. And so that's why I think Scorpio gets that bad rap of being like, you know, like the really, what's the word? Like, you know, there's just so many things out there just saying Scorpios are like the worst, you know, they're like, they're so mistrusting and they're so like, they are the detectives of the zodiac. And it's just because they're just so attuned to energy and they're a fixed sign. So once they feel something, they're not going to freaking change their mind, are they? That's how I put together those pieces of being like, oh yeah, I'm a Sag, but I definitely have that Scorpio influence, which helped me be like, oh, that makes sense. I wasn't just like putting it on in my mind that I was a Scorpio. Like it actually was like a fact.
Absolutely.
What about you, gal? What's your sun?
Well,
Pisces.
Hey? As I said, I'm a Pisces gal, Pisces sun. And definitely I have felt that throughout my life. Like growing up, I was like talking to the fairies. Always the comment on my report card was like, Abby is daydreaming in class, like very much that daydreamer. Always loved art, creation, all of those flowy, imaginative, spiritual things. And as I said before as well, I always felt very connected to astrology and crystals growing up. Like my mum and I would collect crystals. And that was like even before I like knew that crystals could have any like effect on my energy or like be useful for anything other than like looking like stunning. So definitely relate to that kind of, I mean, Pisces is all about being spiritual, dreamy, deeply emotional, intuitive. And yeah, I definitely connected with that. But as I said, kind of throughout my story, that energy isn't necessarily valued in society a whole lot. So that was a big part of me re-meeting myself, I guess, because I had pushed down that side of myself after childhood, really. Like I started going into more like school, academics, achieving XYZ, and pushing aside anything that didn't have value in that kind of space. So like not creating, not valuing any spiritual practices and things like that. And I think that's a big part of Pisces as well, where I think I would say, like, I mean, it's that water energy. So we're mutable. Is that the right mutable?
Right. Yeah.
Mutable energy. So like I am very impressionable. And so I did take all of that on and kind of like morph my like identity to that. So that's something I kind of like had to unpack as well. And knowing my sun sign and knowing myself was a big part in like uncovering that and like shining my light, as you said. And honestly, like kind of falling into these practices naturally, like finding Reiki and like really connecting with it and tarot and astrology. I think it's important for me as well to talk about like the shadow side of Pisces as well, because Pisces shadow is kind of known for like things like addiction or being in victimhood. And I definitely lived a lot of my life in victim mode. So I would always be like, no one understands me. Why is this happening to me? And only, you know, I constantly pull myself up on things like that. And I've posted about this before, but like my mantra for a while has been, if it is to be, it is up to me, like finding that core within myself. But I think Pisces often get a rap for, we were talking about this before, but like crying all the time. And I mean, true, something Jazz always said to me was like, Pisces is like, feels as like deep as the ocean, like emotions is like the whole ocean. And absolutely. I feel that a lot. I'm very emotional, very in tune with other people's emotion and energy as well, like without even thinking about it. But you know, the kind of misconception I want to put is like a lot in society, especially women, are like put down for being too emotional or showing too many emotions. And I actually think it's just a really beautiful side of being a Pisces. It's not a bad thing that you feel things really deeply and that you're really empathetic and intuitive, but it is about learning, putting up that energetic barrier, the energetic protection, and getting that really strong core within yourself to, I guess, get out of the shadow side that can occur when you're a Pisces, because 100% I've been there, sis, been there. But yeah, I think other ways it shows up in my life is we'll talk about my Virgo rising, but I often come across as someone very structured, and I am not someone structured at all. I remember reading once that like Pisces are allergic to like shopping lists and like rules and things like that. And 100%, even like, I don't know, someone was talking about how to cleanse different crystals, and I was like, so many rules. I just want to feel it out. Like, what does this crystal need?
Like, are you sure I have to follow a list, or can I just do whatever feels was right, like, in the moment?
literally. So that's very much me. And how I see my Pisces sun showing up in my life. But I'd love if you could shed any light on that, or any other comments about Pisces or that in general.
Oh, I love what you said. Basically everything. I especially love the thing of the fairies. It made me think of, I was the same when I was a kid. Did you have those like Fairytopia book, like those like fairy encyclopedia books? I don't know if this is just like an old thing.
Absolutely.
There was like the Egyptology one and like the pirate one. Like, oh my God.
Froth those. There was an astrology one as well.
Oh my God, what's it? I never had that. Oh my God. I always had, I don't know what it was. I was obsessed with Egypt. I had everything Egypt based.
I'm obsessed with Egypt as well. Past life five.
Okay, we'll talk about that one day, definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved that what you said. And I think you're so right in that daydreaminess. You know, Pisces is ruled by Neptune. Neptune is a planet that gives us this, like, it's a very foggy planet. So things aren't always clear with a Pisces. When you're interacting with a Pisces, they're not always clear, because they're so in their feelings. They don't super care about reality per se, because they're like, I'm just like floating on a cloud of love.
Literally.
And you can't tell me shit. It can be really interesting to look at the sign that's opposite in the zodiac wheel. So, you know, Pisces is all about that daydreaming, that optimism, like just being in that dreamland state. And then Virgo, which is opposite, is all about reality, structure, routine, organization, blah, blah, blah. And then Pisces is like, how about we just feel into it? And they give such a beautiful balance, which I love that they are your sun sign and your rising. But yeah, Pisces, and like you said, in terms of that shadow, you know, every sign has its light and its shadow. I always say, I read recently for a pair of twins, and they're born at the exact time. Like, every single thing is in the same house in the chart. Like, nothing is majorly different, but they are so different. And
yeah,
I was just trying to explain to, because I know one of the twins, I know his partner, and she was like, I don't understand, the boys are just so, so opposite. And I was like, every zodiac sign is a coin. And it's got two sides of the same coin. So yeah, they might both be Pisces sun, but one can maybe be like more, you know, just like more leaning towards that kind of Virgo balance and trying to be more structured and trying to be more like present. And then the other is like a Reiki healer. You know what I mean? Like, it's opposite. And that's the beauty of astrology is, yeah, every sign has that kind of those different illumination and shadow. And I loved what you said about your, you know, that Pisces shadow that can come through. It can also be avoidant, you know, that I find is the root of the Pisces shadow, is avoidance.
Absolutely.
Where if you've got Pisces in your chart, that can be an area of life that you really are just like, really, I'm just gonna like bail on this, and I'm just like not really gonna show up in this area,
because in my sixth house. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Love it. not a difficult placement at all. No. You know, my Pisces rules my ninth house. That's the house of spirituality. And I find it really hard to show up in my practices. Like, that's the first thing that I will avoid if I'm feeling stressed or I'm feeling run down. That's just something that I don't want to deal with. And so I really avoid my spiritual practices, and I hyper focus on needing to learn more, needing to study more, because that's also the ninth house. So it's really about understanding, you know, where are we being avoidant? And where are we distracting ourselves? And how can I ground? How can I ground into these things that do light me up when you've got a Pisces sun? Because the mysticism, all these beautiful things, they light you up, but it's about not getting lost in the magic. It's about being grounded in the magic. Yeah.
And when I started to utilize that Pisces energy with routine and ritual, six house things, I realized that I don't do well if I, for example, if I want to exercise, I don't do well if I plan out my routine in a week in advance, and I'm like, I'm going to do I'm going to do a walk that day. I'm going to do Pilates that day. I'm going to go to the gym that day. No, absolutely not. I will look at it and I'll be like, oh, I don't want to do that. So, yeah. So what I do instead is kind of utilize that like flowy energy and go, well, if I want to exercise, I'm going to say, I want to exercise on these days for this long. And when I get to that time, I'll decide what I'm feeling like. And still committing to that. Because committing to that is difficult, and being honest with myself is difficult. Mm-hmm. But it's been really useful in my routine and ritual to do that, because when I do commit, especially to spiritual practices, the benefits are just like, you know, I find so many things come to me so much easier, like ideas, clarity, and all of that good stuff. So yeah, I wanted to pop that in there as well, because although sixth house Pisces sun placement, it is a little, I did find it a little challenging, but yeah, that's how I work with it.
Contradicting, which I find you'll come across a lot when you start to investigate your birth chart. There are a lot of contradictions. There's mm-hmm. a lot of things that, you know, maybe your biggest wound is around expressing your voice, but that's also your superpower. You know what I mean? That's where your strength lies. So there's always things like that in the birth chart. And that just goes to show, again, that the birth chart really is a map of our karmic lessons. It's what our souls come here in this lifetime to do. And nothing that is soul level, nothing that's going to grow and enrich and involve our soul is going to be easy. Unfortunately, it's yeah. part of the journey. It's why we're here. But yeah, I yeah. loved what you said about, you know, utilizing that zodiac sign and understanding, okay, I can't plan everything to a T. I need to just go with how I'm feeling on the day. Again, just such a good example of how we can really use our sign to make our life work for us, not change ourselves yes. to fit what our life should be.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, incredible. Okay. Let's go on to our moon sign.
Our moon sign. So I, as I already said, I'm an Aries moon.
We love it. We love
it. I've got a fire sun and I've got a fire moon. And I've got red hair and it's all happening.
You're a fiery gal.
I'm a fiery gal. I really am. I've got just so much fire in my chart. And yeah, I guess Aries is known as a bit of a firecracker. It's the first sign of the zodiac. So it's the first.
My mom is an Aries.
Can confirm firecracker.
Firecracker.
Yeah, can confirm. It's definitely we love that energy whenever you know an Aries. They make their presence known, hardcore. Aries, something that I love about Aries, I was just talking to a client about this yesterday, like there is such a strength and a resilience to the Aries moon and Aries in general. They are the warrior. They have so much strength because they don't hold back. Aries, when you've got an Aries placement in your chart, it's really showing you an area of life that you are just, you're brave and you're ready to go and do the thing and try the thing. And that's also where that vulnerability comes through, because Aries is so willing to be hurt because it just wants to feel all the things it can. Like it doesn't yeah. care about getting its heart broken because it's just so happy to fall in love and feel what that love feels like. Do you know what I mean? Like that's something that me and a beautiful client of mine were talking about. She's an Aries moon as well. And she was like, I feel like everyone's constantly talking about the strength of Aries, the resilience. And I totally feel that. And I get that. But she was like, I just feel like why, like where there has to be this vulnerability. Where does this softness come from? And it's that willingness to just, to show up and to do the painful thing, because you know what? It's an experience and it's something that we can learn from. And that's, again, Aries, you know, when it's the first sign of the zodiac, it really is the baby of the zodiac. It's learning. It's learning and it's growing. And it's, you think of babies, they put everything in their mouth. They're always falling off stuff because they don't know not to yet. And that's Aries. It doesn't know to not do that. So it just does it anyway. When you've got that Aries moon, that just gives that heart that's just so willing to jump in to the feelings and to the big scary emotions, because it wants to experience it. It wants to experience the real depth and breadth of feeling. And I totally resonate with that myself. Like, I'm big in the feels. Like, I'm the most emotional person in the world, I reckon. Like, I cry all the time. I've got no water placements at all, but I'm like so deeply emotional. It's crazy. It is crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love the way you explain that. That I just, yeah, love that. And I think as well, I would love to hear your perspective on like knowing that emotional side, going about your daily life, like in relationships, in friendships, the way you like communicate with people, like how has that helped you just going about life?
Yeah, totally. For me, I understand that as an Aries moon, I have that real strength in emotion. I also understand that it's not something that can be comfortable for a lot of people, because while I'm not afraid to feel all the depth of emotions, for some people that's a lot. And I've learned that, and I've learned to accept that my energy is not for everyone. But it's not everyone else's job to process my emotions. It's my job. And so what I've really worked really hard on is creating that emotional processing within myself and realizing when I need time for myself. I know that when I'm feeling, when something happens and I can feel the emotions of it, I need to give myself space, safe space to let them out, whether that's crying in the car, whether that is like anger releasing, like literally hitting a pillow, like shouting into a pillow. That is deeply cathartic for me, because for me, if yes. I'm trying to hold in emotions, it just makes them so much worse, because, you know, Aries is such an expressive sign. And so I need to get my feelings out. So I've held such safe space for myself now that I can process my emotions and release them by myself. You know, if I'm around people who I'm comfortable and safe with, I can talk it out. Absolutely. But I find, you know, Aries is generally, you know, a bit of a lone wolf, a little bit of a lone soldier. And so I'm okay to process it on my own, because then I'm all I need, really, you know, like it's such a power to know that I don't need anyone else to be emotionally balanced. I can just work on myself by myself. And yes, I have so many beautiful people in my life who support me so much and who I'm so comfortable being vulnerable with, but knowing that at the root of it, I can just come back to myself, is very powerful. And yeah, that emotional releasing is super important to me and is something that's changed my life. Because again, that's not something that we're taught to do or that we're told is appropriate. We're told that anger is a good feeling. Anger is a very powerful feeling, and it's not good when it's misdirected, but it's only misdirected because we're trying to hide it and we're trying to stuff it down.
Especially as women, like women, the whole trope of being you know, a scorn woman, is that even a saying? But like anger as my cat has just woken up from a nap. anger as a woman is not something that we're taught is kind of like an okay emotion to just like be in. Like, we're taught that we just should be agreeable and mellow and not have those kind of range of emotions. So I loved what you said, learning how to process that and get it out in a really healthy way that doesn't like negatively affect other people, and that is really healthy for you. So I love that. And punching a pillow or screaming into a pillow has become one of my favorite energetic practices get that out, because we don't want to be holding that shit in.
We definitely don't. It's too much to hold in, for sure.
Literally.
Tell us about your moon sign, Abby.
Well, I'm a Taurus moon, and it is in my eighth house. So I feel like that's very important to preface, because as we said, the eighth house is all about things that are kind of not usually spoken about. It's like, you know, I don't know, you explain it, more private, perhaps taboo topics that we don't usually talk about in everyday, you know, everyday life, right? So I definitely resonate with my Taurus moon. I'm extremely stubborn. I can be very stuck in my place in relationships. I'm like, no, no, this is my emotion. Like, what are you talking about? So that's something that I've really had to learn. Like, okay, Abby, you are like really set in your emotion. How can you learn to take on other information? Nobody is wrong or right when they're expressing their emotions. Mm-hmm. It is your emotion. So that's one thing. I'm very stubborn, and I also like material comforts in my home. I'm very like plush blankets. I love being on the couch cuddled up with a hot cup of tea. Like, that is me. We love it. But I think something that has really been a theme throughout my life is definitely that eighth house energy. I've always been very private with my emotions. My parents would have no idea if I was going through something, even when I lived at home, because I was so private and so like kept it stuffed down, all of my emotions. Mm-hmm. I was like, didn't feel, it just does not feel natural for me to like, like tell people vulnerable things. Like even when I was going through like severe depression and anxiety, hardly anyone knew because I was just like, no, I like, and so I think that's a shadow side of it, of that placement for me. While 100% it's okay to process emotions by myself, I've had to learn when it's time to release that. And exactly kind of what you were saying, knowing ways to hold space for myself and knowing when other people have that availability to hold space for me, and take that opportunity. And going to therapy for me was just like the best thing I could have ever done, and coaching and all of this, basically everything I've done in the last 2 years, because it really pushed me out of my comfort zone with my emotions and freed a lot of that up. I was carrying so much on my heart that, you know, just, I did not know how to get out, and I did not know how to have that vulnerable side. So now I am much more grounded in my emotions, which I think is utilizing that earthy energy. I know when I need to express something, whether that's journaling, whether that's doing a kind of energetic practice, like you said, like punching a pillow or crying. Like, I didn't cry for years. And it's crazy being a Pisces, but that was 2 years ago. That's kind of where I was with like my emotional side. So I love as well. I think another side of Taurus that is very true for me, I'm very loyal in all my relationships and friendships. I have a few really deep and long-standing friendships. Like, my best friend, we've been friends since year three. So I don't know how many years that is. My boyfriend and I have been together for nearly 8 years. My other best friend, very deep relationships that I'm very loyal to. So yeah, I would say that's how it has shown up for me, and how that placement has kind of played out, perhaps in like a little bit of a unhealthy way, and how I've transformed that into a light expression. How do I put that? I'm in the light now.
Go to the light. I love that. Yeah, that's beautiful, Abby. And I love what you said about, you know, that growth and having to get real with yourself and say, you know what, I can't keep doing things the way that I'm doing, and I need to look for healthier coping mechanisms. That's the thing with Taurus, is all about comfort, and it doesn't want to go into the uncomfortable, because it's just easier to not, you know what I mean? Like, it's just easier to not, and to stay in the comfort and the beauty and the things that make you feel really good. But it takes a beautiful amount of strength to do that. And that's that eighth house, you know, when you dig into why we're doing what we're doing, when we dig into those taboo subjects, those things that don't feel comfortable, that's where you see the most growth. that's where you see the real change. So that's amazing what you shared there. I love that so much.
And I also think that's why, like, I got into hypnotherapy, my hypnotherapist, Nikki Cosmo. I think that's kind of a huge part of that transformation for me. Hypnotherapy is literally all about the subconscious and shit we don't see, you know, everyday lives and that we're not necessarily aware of. So that's something else I wanted to note, that is probably not something I did consciously, but definitely, like, I think hypnotherapy is great for everyone, FYI, but definitely I think what really uncovered and like helped me a lot on that journey, because it really captures that energy. And also Nikki's like a earthly queen. She's got a lot of earth energy.
So very grounding. Like again, like grounding in these things that we can't see or always understand, you know, that's the thing. We don't always have to completely comprehend and have all the details and be able to tangibly like touch and move things to work with them and to work on them. Anything that's something that we can really apply to the moon sign is, you know, it's our feelings, it's our emotions. It's not really something tangible. It's not always something that we can explain, but if we can just hold space for what we need at that time, we can move through things with such grace and ease.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Okay. Let's go to our beautiful rising signs. A beautiful Gemini rising, right?
And we're both mutable suns and risings as well.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So the mutable, that's kind of the second time we've brought that up. Each sign has a mode for those listening that maybe haven't heard of that before. So the modes kind of indicate how the energy of that sign works. So you've got your cardinal signs, that is, and I wish I had a birth chart to look at, but I'm pretty sure Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn.
The knowledge in your brain is incredible.
Don't hold me to it. No, it is. Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn. These signs, you know, if that's in your sun, moon, or rising, or whatever it is in your chart, these are signs that are like, go, go, go. They want to start all the things. They want to, like, they're very active and they're always looking for that next thing to be doing. They're always looking for that next project. Love starting things, hate finishing things is very cardinal signs. I've got Aries moon. I can attest to that very accurately. And we've got our fixed signs. So we've got our fixed signs. We are looking at Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius. These signs are all about consistency. True. They are happy to commit. They are willing to put in the work. But they can be slow moving because they're happy to just stay in there doing their thing. You know, they're not like, I don't have to look for other stuff. I'm good here. Like, I'm good where I am. I'm safe my ways and I'm happy with it. So you get that amazing consistency, you get that amazing grounding, but it can be a bit slow to move. And then you've got your mutable signs, which is your Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces, which you and I are both quite heavy in our charts. These signs are the chameleons of the zodiac. They love to chop and change. They love to have, they're very multitaskers. They love to have all the things going on. Me and Abby are very mutable. We both are doing like 10 courses at a time, plus work, plus a business, plus 20 other things, probably. Like, that is very mutable. And that's where the strength is. So again, when you understand that you have a lot of mutable energy in your chart, you don't want to be like, I'm going to do the same thing every day and I'm going to hold myself to a routine, because it just ain't going to work. I know for me, we've spoken about this, I can't do the same morning routine every day. I like just, no. Oh God. It like melts my brain to think about it. It just seems so boring. I have to mix it up. And so what I've done now is I have a list on my wall and I write down a couple different options, things that I really like to do. And in the morning I'll be like, cool, I'm going to do two of these, or maybe I'll just do one, or maybe I'll do five.
Shut up. Depending on how I do the exact same thing.
So, see, mutable signs. We get it. I've got that Gemini rising. As we spoke about, that rising sign is really, and I kind of already spoke about this, but it is that energy that we give off. It's that energy that we're being asked to step into. Gemini is the communicator. It's the curious mind. It's the studious mind. Looking back now, I realize like I was always a really good student. I've always been told I'm quite like bubbly and chatty. in social settings. It's not something I've ever identified within myself. I've never felt very confident in being chatty, especially in the last couple of years. It's been coming up majorly. I've been feeling so out of my depth when meeting people, because I just feel like I have nothing to say. I feel like I don't know if it's like it's been extra pressure from like COVID and like not seeing as many people. But I've felt so much apprehension with showing up, because I'm like, what am I even going to say? Like, how am I going to get to know people? How are they going to get to know me? And I've just had to remind myself that my power is in my voice, and I do have that ability to tap into that bubbliness and that chattiness and that kind of fun energy that Gemini brings. Gemini is another one that gets like the worst rep. Oh my God.
Like, yeah, absolutely. Like, let's talk about worst. That.
Two-faced is constantly spoken about with Gemini. Like, I kind of get it. The thing with Gemini is, in traditional astrology, like, it's known as the twins, right? Because they have that duality. Where the duality comes from with Gemini is they're like a chameleon. Because of that mutable energy, they can really adjust their energy depending on who they're with and what environment they're in. This gives Gemini risings and Gemini suns and moons an amazing power to really adapt to a lot of different scenarios. I remember at my job, we'll have like state visits, you know, so people coming from over East coming to check out my business, and you'll have to like stand and they'll just ask you questions about the business and how it's going. And I would just rattle shit off. Like, I can talk like no one's business. And at the end, I remember my 2IC would always be like, oh my God, Beth, like, how do you do that? And I'm like, I just kind of just start talking and I just see where it takes me. Like, I'm very like Michael Scott, where I'm like, I just kind of start a sentence and I don't even know where it's going half the time. Like, that's me.
Absolutely.
And that's the strength in Gemini, is you just kind of you just start talking because you can pick up on other people's energy and you're like, okay, they want this kind of information, so I'm going to like just quickly talk about something that I know. Because it is that studious mind, generally Gemini's hold a lot of information. We pick up on things really easily. And so, yeah, that's something that I don't love is, yeah, Gemini gets that bad rap for being two-faced when really we're just adaptable and we're just picking up what you're putting down. You know what I mean? So, yeah, sometimes if you see me in a different situation, I might seem like a different person, but it's just because I'm just picking up the energy of what's happening right now.
It's not because you're being fake. It's because you're...
I'm just reflecting back.
You're adapting.
What people... Yeah, I'm just adapting to what you're throwing at me. So, yeah, if you see me... At my work in a corporate environment, I'm going to be a completely different person to if you see me out at the pub. Like, I'm giving off different vibes. Like, and if I'm around someone that I don't super like or trust, then I'm going to be a lot more reserved than if I invited you over for dinner at my house and I'm like, hell stoked that you're here. You know what I mean?
Multifaceted is a better...
Multifaceted,
is much better than two-faced because, 100%. I mean, I have a Gemini midheaven, so I really see that reflected in like, you know, how I show up in public or like my career, and 100%, like that's, I don't really, or maybe it is considered a bad thing that you might be a bit flaky or something, but I am just interested in so much and like, I can adapt to different like jobs very easily. And like, that is why I love learning all these different things, because I crave different scenarios and being able to adapt to that. So, I love the way you explain that. And I hate when people call I hate when Geminis get a bad rap.
Me too. And you know what? Every sign does. Like, there's always something, but I'll tell you something. The sign that people, there's always someone says, oh, I hate whatever's, I hate this, I hate that. You know, like there's always some sign that they hate. I guarantee you they've got a focus of energy of that in their chart. People don't like what they can see of themselves in others. Like, they don't like being reflected back on, you know what I mean?
Yes, so someone totally.
Might, oh my God, one of my headphones just died. I can only hear you in that one. That's so funny. like, I have this friend at work and she has always really struggled with my like Gemini rising. Like, she's like, I really struggle with you. Like it's just too much energy and it's too choppy, changey. And I'm like, yeah, but like you have heaps of mutable signs. So like, that's your energy that I'm just giving back to you. And she's like, no, I don't want it. And it's just, cause it's just a reflection. Sorry for that, guys. There's going to be a little bit of a weird little jump back and forth. My headphones just died and my dog started barking. So we've taken a quick pause.
We love AirPods.
Damn it, Apple. Make them
all. Literally, mine have recently, just one of them died. Just forever. It doesn't work anymore. So I'm back to cords. But anyway.
Apple store in the sky, has it?
Yes. Okay, let's keep talking about our rising signs. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about your good old Gemini rising?
I don't think so. I just think I just would love if people can just investigate their own rising signs, just to try and figure out, you know, what's your superpower, what's that energy that you can really utilize when you're out and about. But I'd love to hear your experience of being a Virgo rising, considering you've got all that Pisces energy.
Yes, it's interesting. Virgos are obviously very much known for being like organized, regimented, being like, I don't know, sometimes I hear like very into health and wellness and all of that kind of thing. And just being, you know, very, yeah, I guess like organized and like set on a path, right? But I love what you said about how you can like just talk shit if there's like a corporate visit or something, because I was going to say, like, I fucking kill interviews. If I go into an interview, something takes over my body and I will just be able to go into my Virgo power mode and really give off that Virgo energy, because it is what people kind of perceive when they first meet you and that kind of thing. So I come across like very, like I can talk for days in interviews. In my regular life, I have struggled with like hyping myself up or like praising myself. I was always like, oh, I'm very modest, but I was really just like afraid to, you know, be proud of my own achievements in interviews. Out the window, babes. It's like I'm hyping myself up.
Goes all
confidence meter up. So I totally feel you on that. That communication just like pours out of me. But yeah, having a Pisces sun and a Virgo rising is interesting, because obviously they have that like polarity, and what is it called? Is it called the faith polarity?
Yeah, it's
the polarity of
belief. Oh no, belief. Yeah, I think it's the polarity of belief. Potentially, yeah. Or faith, one of those, yeah.
And that has definitely come up in my life, because it, as I've said, I have had like this yearning to be like deeply spiritual, but then I also have this really regimented analytical side of me that's really reflected in my Virgo rising. But yeah, so I mean, as well, I know Virgo rising have like a lot of body awareness. And if I have anything that's like off in my body, like I will be really annoyed by it. Like if I have a sore back, I'm just like, that's the only thing I can concentrate on. Really high body, like discomfort, I would say radar, which I really resonated with when I first read. But yeah, it is interesting to balance those two, but I kind of touched on it before with like, if I'm setting a routine or something, I will still harness that Pisces energy within my routine and how I structure things. So while Virgo is very much known for having like lists and doing things like I will just still have some sort of organization system, but just in a way that I can still access that flow and that like mutable energy, I guess, where I can change it up in my morning routine every single morning, but still have that structure of having a morning routine. I mean, in saying that, I love a planner. I love my calendar. I love seeing everything organized, and I definitely thrive on that. So it's a bit of a balance.
It totally can be. And I think as well, something that's really cool about that Pisces and Virgo opposition is, you know, Virgo is all about the material tools that help us, you know, ground and be in our reality. Whereas Pisces is those spiritual tools. So having those both it's off in the ether. Yeah, it's off in the ether. So it's about, you're right, it's about organizing and having that routine and, you know, and planning, but also planning in the spirituality, planning in the mystic, planning in the time to just be and be open to receiving and those sorts of things. Because there can be such a freedom in the structure.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I love that. There is freedom in structure. Absolutely. But yeah, that's me.
And that's me.
Well, that's us.
That's us.
That's our big three. And I think, you know, getting to know your own big three is just like so illuminating. And as we said in the beginning, just like so fun as well to just like discover these parts and like, you know, meet yourself on a deeper level and just see yourself. So it's really powerful. And I hope everyone listening had some fun getting to know us and how that shows up in our life as well. And maybe even learned a little bit about their own. Their exactly. own sun moon rising.
You know, maybe it's inspired you to pull up your chart and have a little look-see. And yeah, it's such a cool thing. And I guess, yeah, just that reminder that, you know, it is a tool for empowerment. It's a tool to get to know yourself. It's not something to put you in a box. And if you read something that you're like, that doesn't really resonate, that sounds pretty like fatalistic, because a lot of astrology stuff can be, you know, there's a very popular astrology app that has admitted to over catastrophizing their messages. So people use the app more, you know what I mean? Like, so it's really important that, you know, just use your intuition when you're looking for information. If you're like, that doesn't really resonate, yes, or that sounds like really like pretty shit, to be like, I'm just going to look elsewhere and I'm just going to see what other information, yeah, I can gather. Because exactly, astrology should never be anything like that. It should only be used to give us more, to allow room for more understanding and self-love and self-acceptance and empowerment.
Discovery. Empowerment. Yeah. Absolutely. And yeah, exactly what you just said. I mean, I remember literally yesterday I read something and it was like, because you have this placement, you will never make good money or something like that. And I was just like, I'm just going to leave that. So yeah, absolutely. Take what resonates, leave what doesn't. And that really is the power in it. Yeah. Seeing yourself and using that to empower you. So we love
it so much. So yeah, thank you so much, guys, for tuning in again. Thank you, Ali, for being here with me. I'm having the best time.
Thank you, Beth. We're absolutely thriving. We're loving
our life. And yeah, if you guys have any questions about astrology or just want to chat about anything we've spoken about today, just send us a little message. We're always keen for a chat. Our Instagrams are in the show notes. And we hope you all have a really beautiful day and we'll see you next time.
See you guys next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Mystic Millennial podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share, leave a review, and make sure to subscribe so you never miss an ep. Thank you.
Bye.